Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9 and 10. Today I want to speak to you about the deeper life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Wow. That's pretty amazing to me, because my mind can think of a lot of things in heaven, and it's nothing compared to what God has prepared for us that love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Deep down inside, there is an understanding in our spirit that God truly does love us and has something that is marvelous for us, too marvelous for us to even conceive of it. But the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Now, I want to talk about the deep things of God this morning. And they're probably very simplistic, but they're deep. They're things that God requires and God speaks to our heart. A deeper life in God doesn't always mean a new revelation. It doesn't always mean a new truth. A deeper life means that we have a greater revelation of who Jesus Christ is. A greater revelation of Christ. That's one of the reasons when people get saved, the first thing I tell them to do, if I have a chance to talk to them, is to read the book of John. And I tell them to read that particular book, that Gospel of John, because John tells us the purpose of his writing. The reason why John wrote the book of John is found in John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written, why did he write? That you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So everything in the book of John was written so that you might believe who Jesus is, so that you might understand who Jesus is. That's why he wrote the book. And there's nothing better for a person who finds Christ than to really understand who Jesus really is, to come to a revelation knowledge of the wonderful truth that's found in Christ Jesus. We go deeper as we begin to see what we already have in Christ. We already have it. But we become deeper in God when we begin to grasp it and understand it with our spirit. And we begin to understand it, not intellectually, but we understand it in our spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says again, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So on Sundays and on Wednesdays, we gather together in our services, and oftentimes they center on God's Word. We worship, because God teaches us things through worship. As we worship, he begins to speak to our hearts. He inhabits our praises, and we magnify the Lord. And we don't make him bigger, like I've mentioned before, but we make him bigger in us. God is already big, but he becomes bigger in us. We magnify him in our life, and then the revelation of Christ grows, and all of a sudden we begin to think deeper. We begin to think more like Jesus thought. Now, as children of God, we know that we're born of the Spirit. Can I hear an amen? God wants us to launch into the deep things. That's why it's so important, the messages that Pastor Stephen is bringing in the second service about the work of the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that searches the deep things of God, like healing. James chapter 5, verse number 14. Is any one of you sick? There's a key right there. We're going to be sick sometimes, all of us. We live in these earthen vessels. So he says, is any one of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. We often forget the next part. And if he has committed any sins, or if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. There's power when you come and you ask for prayer. We hear this call for the sick so often every Sunday, and sometimes we become immune to it. Never take this for granted. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Never take this for granted. Sometimes we stop listening with our spirit. Sometimes we only listen with our head. But the fleshly mind, the carnal mind, is enmity against God. It cannot be subject unto God. Neither indeed can it be. So we have to listen to the Spirit. We don't walk in the flesh anymore. We walk in the Spirit. So sometimes it's just our minds and the fleshly mind. We think, oh, I should go get prayed for, but forget it. I'm not going to do it, and so forth. Start listening with your spirit. And when the Holy Spirit tells you to come down front to get prayed for, you respond in the Spirit. That's what he's talking about, because we are oftentimes fleshly minded. And you know, the fleshly mind is, it's enmity with God. It's against God. But it's the Spirit that leads us into the deep things of God, like healing. We have to go deeper in this life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Scripture says that the Lord will raise him up. The Lord will raise him up. Raise him up from sickness. Raise him up from weakness, inactivity, of being spiritually asleep. It is all connected in this word sickness. All these things. You can be asleep spiritually, but God will raise you up. When we don't respond because we're more worried about what other people think about us, it means we're not listening to the Spirit, but we're listening to people. We're listening to the enemy rather than listening to God, and we're not going deeper. You see, the Spirit takes us deeper. We live in the flesh. The Spirit takes us deeper in God, deeper in the Spirit. God is the one who heals. We know that, right? It's not people. So we listen to the Spirit, not to people. And it's not the anointing oil either. It has nothing to do with the oil. It's only a point of contact. Healing comes from Jesus. And we all must say amen to that. One of the great examples of that is we know with the woman with the issue of blood, 18 years she had this issue of blood and she was unclean, so she couldn't come to the crowds. She couldn't come, but there was something that was telling her to come, something in the Spirit that was driving her to just touch the hem of his garment. And she had to learn that it wasn't the garment. And she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of the garment. And there's plenty of teaching on the garment. In Numbers chapter 15 and verse 38 talks about the hem of the garment. Israel would have tassels on their garments. And you see the picture on the wall, there's tassels. And there were 613 threads in these tassels on all four corners. 613 threads that represented the commandments. So when she was reaching out to touch the tassel, the corner of the garment, she was reaching out for the commandments of God. And who is the Word of God? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So just like she reached out for the Word, we have to reach out for the living Word of God. We reach out to Jesus. And Jesus corrects her immediately by saying, who touched me? Not who touched the commands, not who touched my garment, but who touched me? And power has gone out from me. It's all about Jesus. Not the tassels, not the oil, but these are something for our senses. But it's truly deeper. We have to go beyond that. We have to get into the spiritual realm and recognize it's Jesus. Healing comes through our spirit when we recognize that it's Jesus. He is the living Word, and His will for us is to be well. Now, some of you have experienced healing. You've grasped this reality ever so slightly. How many have been healed? And we grasp this, but ever so slightly. Because the truth is, what God has done for you, He wants to do for others. So if you have been touched and healed, Mark chapter 16 and verse 17 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they'll drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not harm them. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get healed. 1 Peter, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds, you have been healed. Jesus took our sins on Himself so that we might be dead to sin. If we're dead to sin, we should also be dead to sickness. For example, if you thought an evil thought came into your mind, you say, wait a minute, I'm dead. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to this evil thought. But now I'm going to go deeper. I'm alive in Christ Jesus. I'm alive in Christ Jesus. The same becomes true with sickness. The Word says, by His wounds you have been healed. And so I know that God loves me. I know that it's God's will for me to be healed. I know God wants me to be whole. And that's it for me. That's where I stand. Though He slay me, I know He loves me. I know His will is for me to be healed. I'm there. It's the deeper life. It's not a life of the flesh, obviously, but it's deeper. A deeper life not only includes healing, but baptism in the Holy Spirit that Pastor Stephen's been talking about. He's been helping us to understand the significance of this deeper walk. We need the baptism in the Holy Spirit if we're going to have a deeper walk with God. We must have more of Him. In Jude chapter 1, it's only one chapter, but verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. You see, we can't wait for the enemy to come and then strengthen our faith. That's what a lot of people do. They wait till tragedy comes and then they start building themselves up in faith. He says here, no, you should build yourself up in faith so when the enemy comes, you've got authority over him. Amen. Build yourself up. How many remember the story of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins in Matthew chapter 25 in verse number 4? The wise ones took oil in their jars along with their lamps. They were prepared. The wise virgins were prepared. They understood that they needed the Holy Spirit. The wise were the ones who experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. They were Pentecostals. They experienced the work of God. And they know what He has done in their lives. They understand what has happened. They have seen the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They see how, what God is doing in the world today. And they understand that in these last days, they need the Spirit. They understand that they must have the Spirit. The foolish waited, and it became too late. Victory in this life has little to do with our outward circumstances. Victory in this life has nothing really to do with our outward circumstances. We've already won the battle in Christ Jesus. Victory. Peter and Paul arrested. Peter and Paul in jail. Stephen murdered. Jews plot to kill Paul. Herod is killed. Herod kills James, the pastor of the church. Paul was stoned. Paul and Silas arrested at Jesus rally. And Paul was mobbed at Jerusalem. But in the midst of all these troubles and all these circumstances that looked like defeat, they all had victory in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, inwardly we are strengthened. Outwardly, all of a sudden we're in trouble outwardly. But inwardly we're strengthened. How? By going deeper, deeper in the Spirit, into the depths of the very heart of God. If you're looking at the circumstances in your life, you're going to get dizzy. It's going to put you on a roller coaster. That's why he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Stay full of the Holy Spirit. The meaning is, don't get overly involved with this world. The world is intoxicating. It clouds your vision. It impairs your hearing. It draws you away from God. But when you're filled with the Spirit, there's an overflow effect. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, other people are going to be blessed too. There's an overflowing. You begin to influence those that are around you. You walk in the power of Jesus. Where Jesus walked, you begin to walk. Now, you have to remember one thing. Jesus received the Spirit without measure. You and I are given a measure of the Spirit. We still can do what Jesus did, but you got to be careful. You don't get so far out there in left field that you're not listening to the Spirit. You have to be led by the Spirit. You have a measure of the Spirit, and that Spirit, if you will begin to allow that Spirit to flow through your life and rise up within you, then I believe God increases the anointing upon your life. But you have to allow that Spirit to flow through your life. Now, there's another area that is deep in God that people have trouble with, and that's the area of giving. It really is more blessed to give than receive. It truly is. God is a giver. God with love and self-sacrifice gave His Son. And He enjoys giving. He allows us to experience that same kind of joy that we get when we give. We have the same privilege. We give because of the love of God in our heart, because God has ministered to us. We have that same joy. We have this self-sacrifice that we give of ourself. We give of our finances to be a blessing to people. Our missions effort of this church, we're having our upcoming missions convention in October. I pray that everyone experiences the joy of making a faith promise and watching God by faith bring in those dollars to bless missionaries. I'm hoping that we increase our giving. Our faith promise this year, I'm looking for $430,000 of faith promise giving. Our faith promise giving right now is about $393,000, so it's not that much more. It's only another $50,000 more a year. Faith promise giving, we gave last year $551,000 to missions. That's awesome. See, God sees a church that self-sacrifices like this, and his heart goes out. But it's the deepest things when we begin to understand that we don't really own anything that we have. It's all being a steward of what God has given to us. We recognize that. Now, you don't see that with your head, but you see that in your spirit. Because God gave his best, so we should give our best also. So when we give those faith promises, we don't just give sick chickens and all these lambs that are in trouble, lame and everything. We give good stuff to God. God doesn't want diseased rams. He wants our best. Part of the Christian deeper walk is reflected in how we use what we have been given. That's part of the deeper walk. Your job is not just meeting your own physical needs. It's also helping develop spiritual ministries within the body of Christ. Developing those ministries. We cannot cut our life into sections. One part is spiritual, the other part is secular. That's why God gives rules for our giving. Because it's a heart issue. God is always examining our heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart. See how important our heart is? Whatever you've decided in your heart, God says that's how you should give. If you've got a big heart, you're going to give big. If you've got a little heart, a small heart, you're going to give small. But either way, whether you give big or whether you give small, you never give reluctantly or under compulsion. Never. Because God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever you do for missions this year, you do it with your heart. And you give from your heart. The fourth area of a deeper life, and again, it's simple. Church attendance. The people that need to hear this usually aren't here. But Psalms 122 in verse 1 says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. A great sense of worship and joy in our heart. Psalm 133:1 says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. I know some Christians think that they don't have to go to church. Usually these are what I call very spiritual people. They're Christians, but they say, I don't have to go to church. They tell me, God told me that I don't have to go to church. He told me that I should lengthen my cords. I should go other places. I should do different kinds of things. Well, I always tell them that if you're going to lengthen your cords, you better strengthen your stakes because the wind is coming. You better drive those stakes in really, really deep. And the way you do that is in a local body of believers. Things are going to escalate in the world today faster than we'll be able to handle them. And that's why we need each other. We are people that are very needful, and in the end, there's going to be a real need for us to come together. Why do you come to church? Some people come because they like the singing. I hear people say, I love the choir, because you can go to a lot of churches today, and they don't have a choir anymore. We're blessed. We're blessed. I said, we're blessed with this choir. Amen. Amen. We are blessed. Amen. I had a lady recently come to me, and she came and talked to me, because some people, when they give a testimony, they don't want to give it to everybody. They want to give it to the pastor so the pastor can tell the testimony, because they feel like they're just a little embarrassed. But she came, and she says she had a daughter who was ill, and she wasn't in church, but she began to worship. The mother began to worship in church, and she worshiped in church, and she says, something in my heart where I began to worship, God began to speak to me about my daughter. And when she began to worship, she says, almost the Lord told me that my daughter's well. When I got home, my daughter was completely healed. God is working through worship. He's a healer. Abraham and Isaac, I love this when he says, let's go to the mountain and we'll sacrifice you, my son. He calls it worship. God provides the sacrifice. How many of you know when you make a sacrifice, God will provide for you? God loves this. Some people come just for the worship, but the deeper life, really, is church attendance. God teaches us things through worship, but through spirit and truth. And that's why the word is preached in the service. That's why we have the moving of the Holy Spirit in the service. But attending church is going deeper in God. We don't see it that way, but it truly is. Another good reason to come to church is because the bridegroom is coming. He's coming for his bride. He wants a bride without spot, without wrinkle, nicely creased trousers, iron clothes. In the military, you have to have your shoes spit shined. See them? They're always spit shined. That's the military in me. In the military, you always had to have the gig line straight. That's where your buttons on your shirt lined up with your belt, lined up with your trousers, and everything was gig line. They wanted it straight. Every groom wants a bride that knows how to cook. I love that song where the songwriter says, your bride is ugly, but she sure can cook. Every groom wants a bride that knows how to sew, that knows how to clean house, that knows how to care for the children. That's why we come to church. That's one of the reasons why we're here. It's my job to prepare the bridegroom. To prepare us for the bride. To teach the bride how to care for spiritual children. To get them to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Spirit, to teach the bride how to clean house, this temple. To teach the bride to fill her hope chest, to store up treasures in heaven by giving them tithes and offerings to the Lord. To be ready for her true husband that's coming. That's what we're doing. Maybe you wondered why we come to church, because this is a wedding rehearsal. And see, in a wedding rehearsal, the groom is coming. We know the groom is coming. And if you don't come to the wedding rehearsal, you're not going to know where to stand or how to act. Oftentimes when you get into a wedding rehearsal, as a pastor, I come and I tell the bride's grooms, the groomsmen, I said, now, fellas, don't lock your knees, because if you do, one of you are going to pass out and you're not going to be happy. And I tell them, when you stand at a 45-degree angle, and you either put your hands here, you put your hands here, or you put your hands here. But each one of you will put your hands in the same place. They start shaking already, you know. I was just going to stand here. No, you're going to stand, and you're going to look good standing there. You got to know where to stand. Some people, they just say, Pastor, when you're doing the wedding, just tell me what to say. No, you have got to learn what you're supposed to say. You have got to be looking good and ready. When you come to church and get instructions, you're preparing for the happiest day of your life. The bridegroom is coming. And the deeper life includes coming to church, because Jesus is coming soon. And I always tell the bride, I say, you know, if you don't do anything, smile. This is supposed to be the happiest day of your life. Smile. You know, 10 years from now, you might not be smiling like this, but smile today. smile. See, a deeper walk with God also includes praise. Psalms 147:1, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. Praise is becoming, I tell you all the time, you folks look so much better after you're done praising the Lord. Praise just changes our countenance, makes us look good. When we realize what we have received, when we're thanking God for all the things God has done in our life, for the healing, for the opportunity of the Holy Spirit that comes into our life, for the opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God, to unify us, to bring us together so that we're one-minded, and that we're having this wedding soon. We got an invitation to one of the greatest events that's going to take place in our life. It ought to have this wellspring of praise in our life to give glory to God in a marvelous way. Even in sorrow, which is for a moment, should not stop us from praising God. In Belchertown, I used to love to sit when the sun would go down and it got dark. Next to the garage, we had a walnut tree. And I'd love to sit on the porch at our house and I could listen when the sun went down and it was dark. There was one bird that would sing. It was a whippoorwill. Whippoorwill! 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 Best I can do. But I would love to listen to that bird sing in the dark. See, even when things are dark, we've got a song in our hearts. There's a joy that's there. The best thing we can do to prepare ourselves for any conflict or battle that we're going to face is to praise God. If you're even in the midst of a battle, you begin to praise God because that makes the enemy completely nervous. And I believe that if we would praise God more, when we get to our problem, we would find it had already been solved because of the praise that comes and God inhabits us. Before you can have an outward deliverance, you have to have an inward deliverance. You have to be free in your spirit. That's why these things that drive us into the deeper place where we have solidified in our hearts, I believe in healing. I believe I should be in church. I believe that God has given me the Holy Spirit with power. I believe in these deep things, these deeper things. I'm going to allow the Spirit to rise up in my life to overcome these thoughts of the flesh. The deeper things of God set us free to praise Him and worship Him. When we realize this, all of a sudden we believe we've been delivered from everything. God has set us free. No matter what happens in our circumstances, I am free. Even if I don't get healed, I'm free. 15 years here or 15 years more over there. You win either way. Hallelujah. That's why we praise God for all things. We thank you, God, for the deeper life that you give us in Christ Jesus. We pray that you would solidify these thoughts in our hearts, though they're simple. Solidify them, Lord, because the time is coming when you'll be looking for people with great faith, and it will be those that have solidified these deep things in the Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Maybe you're here today and you don't feel like you're ready for the wedding. You don't feel like that you're even going to the wedding. You're not sure. You're not ready. There's no gown. You haven't received this righteousness of Christ in your life. The Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart right now and asking you, would you like to be free from your sin? Would you like to have your sins covered in the blood of Jesus? Would you like to be forgiven? This is your moment. I've been talking to the church about being ready for the coming of the Lord, and you would say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit's talking to my life. I need to make a decision to follow Jesus this very moment. This is your hour. This is your time. And the Spirit's tugging on your heart. Don't go out of those doors without making a commitment to Christ, because the Spirit is moving on your heart now. When you leave, the enemy will try to slip you back into the world. But this is your moment to enter into the kingdom of God. If you're here and there is that faith rising in your heart, you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your life, you simply must humble yourself and ask. If you'd like to ask Jesus to come into your heart, do you have the courage enough to raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to ask Him to come into my heart. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, hon. Come on, you down here right now. Come on. You be by yourself. You come. It's okay. Hallelujah. You come. come on down here. Right here. Thank you. Stay right here. Stay right here with me. Notice the 45. She's right there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Come on back here. You guys just stand right here. You know, something wonderful about when the Lord puts his arms around you and tells you how much he loves you, that he has seen the cries of your heart. He has understood the pain that you have suffered and the sin that has taken place in your life. But right now, Jesus is still speaking. Come on down here. Come here. Yeah. These are special times in our life, and don't you let the enemy nor your friends deceive you that what you're doing today is a spiritual certainty. When you open your heart and ask Jesus to come into your life to forgive you of your sins, he does, and he changes your life. And he brings you and puts your name in a book called the Lamb's Book of Life so that you will never die, you will live forever. So pray this prayer with me. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, I open my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe that you are God, and I receive you as my Savior. I confess that you died for my sin, and you rose from the dead, and I invite you into my life to make it new, and I thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. God bless you guys. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org.
Passion.